Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists.
Canelo, are you ready?
¿Está preparado?
I was born ready.
Considered by many to be pound for pound.
12 years. I never expected it to turn out like this.
TheBoxingVoice.com.
Shout out to the community, man. I appreciate y'all.
What's happening, people?
Info Joe, Los Angeles, in the building.
Adrian, the problem role, the man from the frozen tundra.
Keen, straight out of Florida.
Liz Lowe.
Georgia. You already know what it is. It's the Queen, Mikey K, Detroit. Stand up.
David Maldonado, New York City. Yo, nothing. Don't cut me off, man. Don't cut me off.
King Amin of Essex, catch me for the championship round.
Big Superman, Plainview, Texas.
Dominion and Buffalo. God bless you all.
In Jesus' name.
Without Tide, ain't nothing. Without the callers, ain't nothing, man.
That girl, TKO, San Diego, California.
Big Fish Bacon, Palm Beach, Florida.
You treat the incredible, straight out the ATL.
Dave Benita, Huntsville, Alabama. It ain't hating, it's just the truth.
Show Kid, Mountford, New York, suckers.
NSPS, Georgia.
Coach Mide from London, UK.
Let's go! I'm ready!
Checking in from Tennessee, it's Lethal J, P-A-Y-N-D.
It's Lethal.
Line 6, Reed. We're spreading that boots gospel.
Both from Bama, only in America.
But I'm a true exhibition to the American dream.
King Four, Crown Heights, Brooklyn.
You heard?
Four chicken wings and french fries, breakfast and champions. Let's get to it.
JT, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Stuff like that.
Yo, TV leaders, Coach J-Mac. Long Louisiana, 504, baby.
What have you?
Hey. Why?
California.
Like the video, subscribe to the channel, join YouTube members and Patreon.
This is the number one pound for pound and two division champion, Marvin the Tank Furman from Dallas, Texas.
Mr. C-C-C-C.
LB Southern from DC to Stunt City, Bond Squad.
Brandon Maurice, a.k.a. the AJ Trucker, straight out of Cincinnati, baby.
Matt Bev 100, U.S. 39.
Chick Chickarelli, Hollywood, California.
Louis Reyes, Boston, Mass. Yo, drop that SDS shit,
this son. Message was brought to you by SDS Promotion.
The voice of the people, there is no equal.
You can add Nestor Gibbs on Skype to be part of the conversation.
As I always say, please make sure you push the thumbs up. Share this in every episode of the Boxing Voice Podcast. This is TVD for life. If you ain't on Patreon, that's because you're stupid.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs, joined alongside Ringwalk Danny. Today, we're going to be discussing Eddie Hearn and his interview, Errol Hawani, who are discussing Francis Ngannou, the big fight with Tyson Fury, everything that took place. But Eddie, the promoter that he is saying that Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua is actually a bigger fight than Deontay Wilder taking on Francis Ngannou. Obviously, they are not comparing which is bigger if we are putting Tyson Fury rematch in the equation. So that isn't part of Eddie Hearn's comparison about which is bigger. But I did still put it in our poll here at youtube.com/The Boxing Voice, where I did ask, which is the bigger fight. Anthony Joshua is the bigger fight. That's option number one with 18% of the votes. Deontay Wilder is the bigger fight with 48% of the votes. Nothing bigger than the Fury rematch, 18% of the votes. Alexander Usyk for four belts, only getting 15% of the votes. And we have more votes than thumbs up. So if you're one of the losers that didn't hit the thumbs up but did vote on the poll, you're an asshole. Good morning. But come on back and hit that thumbs up so you don't become an asshole. All right? Right here, we have a bunch to give you in terms of information and audio and just things like that to get you all caught up to date on what it is we're talking about. First thing I'm going to show is Dana White. Dana White deserves to be put on blast for, you know, this statement. And we'll just start this over with a quick refresh.
I mean, Francis just thinks like, that he's in a position where he's got some Conor McGregor Mayweather fight on his hands, which he does not. MMA guys versus boxers doesn't make any sense to me. But I know that he thinks there's all this money in it. I disagree. I don't think there is.
Obviously, we don't want to play the fight, let alone the audio. But I do want to show you this. Let me see. I'll come back to it and try and get it right in the spot that it needs to be. All right, I'll put it there because this is also funny. This they caught the dance with Francis dancing on Tyson. But they got Dana in the hospital after watching the fight. Like, Lord, I fucked up. He's sick. So I thought that was funny. If you don't, if you're not watching this on YouTube, well, then you missed out on that little bit. But we got a bunch more. Lot of audio from Eddie Hearn just making his case as to why he believes, you know, Anthony Joshua is the bigger fight. And his thoughts on the overall fight. But also want to show you this video. And this is Stephen A. Smith. So we'll just restart that.
Tyson Fury got dropped. I expected Tyson Fury to give him a boxing exhibition, not necessarily to knock him out, even though I thought that was possible because Francis Ngannou is not a boxer, he's a fighter, but he didn't look that bad. He didn't look that bad at all. But nevertheless, he still dropped the lineal heavyweight champion of the world, which is Tyson Fury, who came into the fight 33-0-1. And it just goes to show that with heavyweights, you don't play games. One punch can end you. One punch can take you out. If Francis Ngannou really, really learns to box, the heavyweight division could be very interesting. This isn't the days of Muhammad Ali. This isn't that time where the heavyweight division was considered elite. Who do you really see? Am I supposed to get excited about Usyk? Francis Ngannou should stay in boxing because he could make some noise in the heavyweight division.
So this is Stephen A. Smith and his thoughts. Real quick, just want to make sure that we play some of this here, right? We need some of this for that one. Definitely shots fired by Stephen A. Smith there. You know, like, am I supposed to get excited by Usyk? I want to say it's unfair, but I'm in the same boat. Like, Usyk doesn't move the needle for me. You know, I'm going to watch it because it's Fury, it's undisputed, but he just doesn't move the needle for me. That being said, the number to call in, 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time to voice your opinion right here, Voice of the People Hotline. Remember, we have Discord and Twitter Spaces available for you guys to call in and not have to worry about long distance and things of that nature. Now, this is Eddie Hearn and this is Eddie Hearn on Joshua Ngannou.
Ngannou against Anthony Joshua, perhaps in Africa, perhaps the Rumble in the Jungle 2, is one of the biggest fights in the history of the sport. And I promise you this, respect to Francis, easy work for my man. And I know Francis...
Easy work for his man, according to...
Eddie Hearn.
Eddie Hearn.
Yo, shout out to him for always promoting, right?
For real. For real.
Always promoting.
Always on the job, bro. Always on the job. That is the truth. We got a lot. Shout out to Errol Hawani that got the killer interview with Eddie. But we got content for you because of that.
People saying, you know, Ngannou should come back with a...
So this is a shot at me, Paulie, and Sean. That's the people that I've seen, you know, give Ngannou the advice of coming back with a lesser fighter and actually making a career of it. Eddie, the promoter, who has experience promoting, obviously, is giving his expert opinion here.
People saying, you know, Ngannou should come back with a follow-up fight with a lower-level opponent. Bad idea. Really, really bad idea. Because there is a chance that he got lucky on Saturday night in some respect. You can't take away from the performance. But trust me when I say he can get beat by any heavyweight in the top 50 in the world. I promise you that. Showing on Saturday, maybe he could beat them. The risk of that, what you have to do if you're Francis Ngannou now, is you have to rematch Tyson Fury or you have to fight Anthony Joshua.
Do you think he's telling the truth? Is it too much risk for Ngannou to take a traditional developmental route? Chris Algieri, they believe fights with Chisora and Dillian White are the right thing for And Ngannou, obviously, Eddie doesn't believe that. He's saying, dude, if you're not going to rematch Tyson Fury, you better fight Anthony Joshua in Africa. What's your thoughts about the developmental route or going against it?
I think it has to be against, say, the right guy. You know, Eddie.
What about those two specifically Chris brought up? You like them or no? Chisora, Dillian White?
Those, I mean, I like. Those are dangerous, though. Those are, I feel like, guys that, you know, could shock you.
Is Eddie right to you?
No, I don't know. Any heavyweight in the top 50.
He did.
1-5.
Oh, I know.
50. So, you know, the WBC, they have the rankings all the way to 40. I'm on BoxRec right now, bro, and I'm just looking at some of these names, right? There's a guy that is 6-0 at number 49 from Reading, Pennsylvania, named Steven Torres. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, bro. He's probably signed with Lou DiBella, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So this guy got 6 knockouts. He's 6'7", so that might not be, you know. George Aries. Does George Aries beat fucking
Ngannou?
Ngannou? I don't know, man.
He certainly is going to move more than Fury did, but... You know, when Jared put the pressure and the power on him, he fell apart. What would he do when Ngannou puts the power? I don't know that he could put that pressure that Jared brought because of footwork. But a lot of people, I've been doing so much, you know, reading and watching other people's interviews, and I interviewed a bunch of people at Top Rank. People were impressed with Ngannou's footwork. I didn't know he had any. I felt like he was extra flat-footed.
There's a guy 15-4, already been knocked out 3 times. He's in the top 50. Joe Parker.
But you got to move the needle. Like, I mean, I don't think Ngannou's going to get a random guy.
I'm just going, he don't even want that. Eddie Hearn, I'm just saying he's wrong.
Yeah, for
in
sure.
His statement. You know, what you want obviously, I'm not. I wouldn't think he would fight any of the guys I'm saying. You want him to take some development fights. I don't think he'd fight any of these guys. I think guys more like the Chisora and Dillian White is more along the lines. You know,
those are bigger fights, Danny, but I actually genuinely like the George Jerry's fight. Like, he's not this dangerous heavyweight. He's a common opponent with a top 10 heavyweight.
Right.
He's small enough that Ngannou can knock him out, but he's mobile enough that he can give him some trouble to continue to learn how to cut the ring off, how to close distance. I don't mind that fight. Pay-per-view fight with Ngannou. That's like, if it's a developmental fight, I want to see it on DAZN or ESPN. I'm not looking for a pay-per-view fight. I feel like Chisora and Dillian have to be on pay-per-view, even if it's only in the UK.
Damn. See, now I want to know what they did, right? Because it's like, he wasn't this overly huge star, but he was fighting on pay-per-view across the street. So it's like, you know, is his star power enough to keep him on pay-per-view?
I don't know, because I don't know him, but that's why I'm happy you came. I don't know if you caught the earlier clip with Dana and the fact that it was an old clip resurfacing of him saying that Ngannou, he doesn't know what Ngannou's talking about. He doesn't feel that there's money fights in boxing for Ngannou. Did you hear it, or should I replay it?
So I might have, because I did see Ariel Helwani play this old clip of Dana saying things along those lines. And this was yesterday after we were done with our show when I saw it. And he said something along the lines of, like, this didn't age well, or, you know, he regrets. So.
Yeah, I think that's the same clip. Yeah.
Feel free to pull
it
up, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. It's this one. And I just want you to listen and tell me if you can recall this moment. And based off this clip, taking you back to that moment, how popular was Ngannou at this moment? And obviously, any truth at all to what Dana's saying? Because he's a promoter, that a fighter who left him. So obviously, there's some disdain here, but could there be truth?
Thinks like that he's in a position where he's got some Conor McGregor Mayweather fight on his hands, which he does not. MMA guys versus boxers doesn't make any sense to me. But I know that he thinks there's all this money in it. I disagree. I don't think there is.
Obviously, the rest of the clip is just showing the highlights, and then they show Dana in the fucking hospital bed. But at the point of that press conference, how big was Ngannou to you? And did you ever think what took place, and not the actual in-ring action, not him doing as well as he did, but I mean, did you ever see a crossover fight for him?
For Francis?
At that time, though, because I don't know when this was. I don't know if you watched MMA at that time and remember that press conference.
I'm pretty sure that was the the same interview where he went off about Francis not wanting to take risk and not wanting to fight John Jones. I feel like that was earlier this year.
Do you know how much he was being offered for the John Jones fight?
No, I don't. I know.
Is it any, in your opinion, off your years in watching MMA? Can you believe it would have been anywhere as close to the $10 million that he allegedly made for Tyson?
Nah, hell no.
Wow.
Nah.
But wouldn't that have been the two biggest heavyweights in UFC?
Well, John hadn't fought heavyweight, and you know.
Oh, he's not a heavyweight.
He was moving up from light heavyweight. So their light heavyweight is 205.
Oh wow.
And they don't have cruiser.
Okay.
And heavyweight is anything above 205.
Got it.
So, but, you know, even as far as their relationship is concerned, right, Dana White, after every title fight, he goes in the cage And when Michael when Michael Buffer announces the winner, we got Bruce, right? We got Bruce Buffer, right? That's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they got Michael, okay. So when Michael Buffer announces the winner in a title fight, the customary thing that is always done, right? Dana White goes in the ring,
mm-hmm.
and he puts the belt around the champion. In my years watching UFC, there's been two times I haven't seen that happen in a title fight. The first one, when Habib jumped out the cage, attacked Dylan Danis, and all that shit popped off, and people jumped in the cage attacking Conor. When that shit popped off, Dana's like, I'm not putting the belt around you. He's like, if I do, you know, we got 20,000 Irish fans in here. They're going to go berserk because of what just went on. You'll get your belt in the back. I'm not, you know. The second time was with Francis Ngannou. I just told you the first time Dana didn't put the belt around the champion, something extremely crazy. I'm sure you've seen the videos of you know, the all-out brawl.
I think I have seen the Khabib videos.
Where he jumped out the cage,
mm-hmm.
boom. All right. Why do you think Dana didn't put it around Francis? Didn't put. If I told you why he didn't do it the first time, why do you think he didn't do it the second time?
I'm going to assume something similar took place. The rowdy crowd, rowdy B-side team members.
So they saying, we got Michael, they got Bruce. All right, so Bruce Buffer, my apologies. So the reason Dana didn't put the belt around Francis, who was a champ in the Sierra Ogan fight, was because he felt it was such a piss-poor performance, he
Whoa.
Didn't deserve that. So he left. He
okay.
didn't even stick around. He didn't even go in the cage. He gave the
and
belt.
And then gave that interview to let Ngannou know he left because of that?
No. So that wasn't, like, right after the fight, if my timeline is correct. You know, the Sierra Ogan fight was last year, and then this one was probably beginning of this year, earlier this year, maybe 6 months ago that interview was. So I say that to say that their relationship's not been the absolute best, right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw famous cutman Stidge Duran leave the UFC because the UFC, you know, this was like 2015. They did away with the sponsorships when they teamed up with Reebok, right? Huge deal. Everybody was getting a small percentage, you know, a very, very small cut, but they couldn't make any money with their sponsors. Francis wanted sponsors, and, you know, that was something that in-ring sponsors hadn't been allowed, or in-cage sponsors hadn't been allowed for the fighters in years, bro. Probably like 7 years at this point. So, you know, people...
But they could bring, like, the banners, right? That's why they always came out with, like, a banner. I always felt like I've seen ring walkouts in the UFC with banners with all the sponsors on it.
No, they don't have that. No, so the sponsors... Bro, if you sponsor, you just can't rock any of it. It's all, like, outside of the UFC. So, like, Israel Adesanya, he's the first one that comes to mind. He has a Puma sponsorship, right? He ain't wearing no Puma shoes. He ain't got the Puma logo on his briefs or nothing like that, you know, when he's fighting. But he has that sponsorship, and they have a deal.
Mm. Want to remind everybody, we did give away the Kenichi Bear headphones. Our new raffle is the WBC little pack, right? So you got the WBC fitted cap, double logo, got the front logo, side logo. It's actually a snapback, so don't have to ask me what size because it's a snapback. And you got the hand towel, got the pin, gold, heavy gold-plated pin if you want to put it on your hat. You want to put it on your WBC hat?
Yo, see, duh, but I vividly remember.
Little WBC reflective sticker. WBC dog tags because Danny was in the Air Force. Y'all use dog tags in the Air Force too? I mean, I guess it's all military, right? Because it's like really identification.
Yeah, but you only rock them really when you downrange.
So WBC dog tags.
Yo, but see, so you get two. Guess where they go.
What do you mean?
Like, your issue too, and you're supposed to wear too. Guess where you're supposed to wear them?
I mean, movies say around your neck.
One goes around your neck. Could you imagine where the other one would go?
I mean, sounds like you're about to say something extreme.
I mean, it's not like inappropriate or nothing like weird, but
on your foot?
Yeah, on your shoe.
Okay.
You put it through a shoelace in case, you know, your body's found in multiple pieces, they're able to piece you together.
Fucked up.
Yeah, that was a good guess though. Most people like, they have no idea that, like, no, they both go around your neck.
I mean, automatically I've thought of death, so toe tag. What the fuck was I gonna do? What were we saying?
Dana White.
Fuck it, I got hella clips. Hella clips y'all need to see before we open up these lines. Let's see. This is the... We'll go to this next one here. Oh, this next one. I mean, he's being a promoter, right? Obviously, there's heavy talks of Ngannou, and Wilder. The odds are that Wilder is a plus 125.
Against Ngannou?
Yes. No. The odds to be the next opponent.
Oh, there's odds on it.
Oh, yeah. And what? Wilder's the closest. Wilder's 125. Fury is 600. AJ is 600. Usyk is like a 1,200. But because he is so probable as an opponent, I feel Eddie is kicking a little dirt. But at the same time, being a promoter, trying to get his guy the fight. Like, he makes it clear in this interview that he's already contacted the Prince, or what is the guy? Is it Takeshi or something? I've been hearing his name. Is like that? Takeshi? Not Takeshi, but Takeshi, I think.
I haven't
like
been
that.
Able to pronounce the name, but
I mean, Eddie's going to mention it in this interview, and he says he's already in communications that the day of the fight, he like, bro, you know, Ngannou AJ is the biggest fight to make. But
so in that fight with Sierra Gane where he didn't get the belt put around him, they're saying that he only made 600,000 plus pay-per-view points.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can never look down on an amount like that. I don't know the pay grade in the UFC, so I'm not educated enough to say that that's little or not. I mean, to me, they ain't a lot of boxers getting 500 grand plus pay-per-view points. Granted, our standard when you're in a pay-per-view is like a million plus pay-per-view back end.
For the champ, yeah.
Even the B-side, bro. Like, I don't really know that many B-sides in a pay. Like, yeah,
well,
some of these tank pay-per-views, because that's, this generation pay-per-view stars is different.
I was going to say because of the pay-per-view points, because, like, what B-side is getting, like...
Points? I think Leo,
like,
got points. There's no way Leo ain't get,
like,
points.
No. Like, you know, maybe like Leo and Ryan, but like, you get what I'm saying?
I mean, I think Cotto got points versus Canelo. And
I mean,
Canelo
Cotto was the A side,
so I think Canelo got points.
Right.
Same way I think
but
Chavez.
Like, I don't think Khan got no pay-per-view.
Versus Canelo?
Nah, bro.
Crazy.
Nah,
crazy.
Don't. Like, I think he got, because I think it was pay-per-view in the UK.
Bro.
So out there, but American pay-per-view? Nah,
champ.
I don't.
Google what's the population of Pakistanians in America.
Pakistanians in America.
Mm-hmm. There's no way they didn't consider his. He brings a country, bro. If we'd say the same phrase for Pacquiao, there's no way. Why do you think he's always been in talks with Pacquiao and Mayweather? It's only because of that.
Very small.
How many?
Less than half of 1/10 of the U.S. population.
Bro, give me a number.
170,000.
Damn, in the whole
country. Out of 330 million.
That's got to be wrong. It's got to, bro. In New Jersey alone, like, what the fuck? Google Jersey City.
Bro, but that's like me going to Detroit and like, oh, yeah. No, America filled with Iraqis,
Danny,
and Afghanis.
I mean, but Danny, a couple months ago, we was Googling some stuff in Florida and realized there's only 300,000 in Florida. You talking about a people being less than one city in an entire fucking country. I don't know, that shocking numbers.
So
shocking.
This is another
shocking.
This is another source. This one is giving them more.
You
this,
said 170,000. You
this,
said
this
that
source,
is fucking low.
This source says 250,000 in the entire country. And
holy
then
shit,
this,
they must hate America.
And then that same source says that the primary location where the Palestinian Americans reside is the New York City metropolitan area, primarily North Jersey and Brooklyn.
Oh shit! Bro,
oh, no
wonder! No
primarily
wonder.
North Jersey and Brooklyn, which are home to the largest Palestinian population.
Holy
in the US.
Shit! And that, and look, I'm born in the tri-state area, so to me, they coming. I'm waiting for him to stop to be like, bro, in Jersey City, North Bergen, like, every motherfucking Palestinian got a store. Like, you can't go in a store and it ain't there.
No, again, bro.
That's crazy.
Again,
but
listen.
No. I see. It's in my area.
So
that's so weird.
It's funny because we've gone to Detroit together, right? But, like, bro, I used to go all the time as a kid, right? And I just went back again without you. And I went before, you know what I'm saying, and all these things. And I say that to say.
See, that's what I'm saying. You looking at Palestinian. I said Pakistan. He's from Pakistan. Dwayne said, finish talking about the WBC raffle. You got it, Dwayne. So you get the hat, double-sided, and this is embroidery. This ain't no iron-on shit. This that real WBC fire. Shout out to Mauricio, my boy. You get the reflective sticker. You get the gold-plated heavyweight pin. It's probably best to put it on a hat. I got mine on one of my hats somewhere. You get the keychain. Let me just finish this one.
Oh, my bad.
You get the keychain. It's double-sided, and it's engraved. There's a message on the back that says, my blood is green, and and my heart is gold. And then you get the dog tags, also double-sided, also very heavy and thick. This is like quarter of an inch, what you think?
Well, y'all seeing 700,000? Yeah, no, that's thick. That's thicker than a quarter. I'm only
certainly thicker than a quarter or a dollar, a silver dollar.
I'm only finding 550,000.
Let me just finish. After the dog tags, you get the hand towel, and then you get the little tote bag. These are perfect if you like if you're into the fitness gyms where you need those lockers. The lockers ain't big enough, and all you really bring in is your water bottle. You know, a little towel, maybe a shirt change. That's perfect for that. Plus, it's WBC, which is the dope thing because now all the women in the gym going to think you a boxer. You walk in with your little WBC back. You know, your locker got the WBC sticker.
That's it, funny.
You sweating and you drying your fucking sweat with your WBC. I'm like, hold up. Can I get an autograph? I'm just saying. But one virtual raffle ticket is going to be $15. We'll give that out on Sunday. Because we got fights this week. So we got a lot of fights actually this week. If you're a Patreon, if you're a member, I put out some homework for the betting show. Make sure you check your notifications. There's a fight I'm telling you to go watch as homework for a fight we're potentially going to bet big money on.
So for Pakistanians, everything I'm seeing is saying 550,000. Right, so it is more, a little over 554, so a little over half a mil. Saying 100,000 of that, 100,000 of them live in the New York metropolitan area.
Wow. Houston, no wonder I've seen so many, but bro,
Houston,
you know how many Patels I know in my life?
Houston, Washington, and
last name Patel.
Chicago. Wow. They make up another 100,000. And then it's
Dan, they said fuck out of here with that hat. You crazy shit fire. Bro, you got the big WBC on the side.
He said with that cap ass shit, bro.
What cap ass shit?
He ain't talking about the hat. You funny as hell.
I hope not, because this fire. I should have kept one for me, but I'm trying to be nice. But anyway, I got more clips, Beef. I got more clips. We never went to this one. Check it out.
Oh, there's the only one who's crazy enough to go over there and do an MMA fight. Let's be honest, Francis isn't going to wrestle him.
Yeah, not being funny. Have you seen his legs? Like, if Francis Ngannou kicked Deontay Wilder's legs, they would literally snap in half. Like, Wilder's a boxer, very dangerous boxer, very exciting boxer, very talented boxer. Listen, the money for Francis Ngannou now in boxing, he ain't going back. He ain't going back. I mean, like, the money that I know that AJ against Ngannou could generate.
Wilder's the only one who's crazy enough.
So you believe, Errol, is Wilder, out of all the heavyweight boxers you know and don't know in the sport, is Wilder the only one crazy enough, or do they mean the only one crazy enough with that much marketability?
I mean, there's only three with that much marketability. Fuck, man. I could never see him over there. Personally, I wouldn't want to see him over there. I'm not going to doubt him or question what he is willing
to do
and how much he's willing to challenge himself. But goddamn, do you want to see that?
I don't, but I did a show yesterday, so obviously research. My boy Alex helped me out. The Saudis bought minority stake in PFL. Did you know?
From that
response, that's a no.
I believe – no, I was going to say – no, it wasn't PFL that we was looking up. I don't think.
So they bought a stake in there. Knowing that, I read, you know, the screenshotted article. Knowing that now, that information, I'm sure you're Googling as we speak. How much do you think they pay Wilder to fight in a cage, bro? Like, I just am like, yo – I'm trying to put myself in Deontay Wilder's shoes. Bro, allegedly I made $25 million for Dominic Brazil. There's no reason, only haters don't believe that, because there's no reason for anyone not to believe that when DAZN was willing to pay him $25 million for that mandatory and Showtime said they matched it. Now, if you don't want to believe it, that's cool. We don't have to believe it, but we got to go off something. So going off that, then we go off the Fury fights. He's making millions of dollars. What do you think is the most but yet minimum to get him in a cage?
You know, the thing is that it would have to be against another marketable name.
Well, it's obviously against Francis. According to Francis, oh, you didn't see that. According to Francis, He believes Wilder, and he's seen Wilder training for MMA.
Oh, well, I mean, they did meet at the UFC facility.
Yeah, I've seen the
and
picture
like that.
And let me tell you, I'm gonna try and find that picture, but it wasn't a good look. Wilder hugs him, and he is so thin. And then based off the fight that we seen with Fury trying to manhandle Ngannou and just basically melting.
Uh-huh.
He would get hugged by Ngannou and just melt and fall on the floor. Like, I've never seen Fury on the floor so much without being punched. I don't know that Wilder's going to be able to tussle with Ngannou. Thank you. Oh, my God. See? Beautiful. Someone got another camera angle, you fuckers. Always trying to call Fury dirty. Wow, this shows it. Can't call him dirty now. Can't call him dirty now.
We transfer.
I know. I don't know why it's not showing the right page. Come on, bro. Hold on a minute. Here we go. Why is it not showing this? Okay, I must have left that over there. Let me take this down. Fucker.
So, it seems
like
what they did is they seems like, yeah, so they bought minority stake to create PFL MENA, which is the Middle East and Northern Africa, right? So they're going to be hosting fights in Saudi Arabia featuring fighters from
Go ahead. Keep talking, champ.
Yeah. Just they don't want to talk over you, you know. And this same investment fund that bought into this PFL is the same ones that have established LIV Golf, which if you don't know what LIV Golf is, bro, LIV Golf came in. And, like, before it was only PGA, right? So then LIV Golf came and they was telling everybody, you know, throwing out crazy contracts, like, come play for us. And it caused, like, this big stir up in golf. And it was, like, so much criticism because it was like, if you go over there, you'll never be allowed to come back over here. And now they merged, and you ain't listening to shit. But it's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. A lot of money involved in that.
I have no – I'm going to have to – you know, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good, bro. It's all good. Do it this way. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to – we ain't going to let that shit take us out of our mood. We not.
Yeah, YouTube ain't one of those sites, champ. You feel me?
We ain't gonna let that take it out of the mood. Nope. We did it anyway. Here we go. This guy says Fury's elbow was not intentional. Someone else believes and did the research. Here we go.
Fury missing with the right hand. And Gano coming to the inside. Short right.
Look. Exactly what I said. Meanwhile, I'm going to pause it here because they go in super duper extra duper slow motion. So I'm pausing it. This is exactly what I said, that the fucking left hook hit his right side, causing the arm to deflect.
Well, let's see, because there goes the left there. And he ain't thrown the right yet.
Look at the super slow mo. There goes the right. Look at the arrow on the arm. Hitting Fury where? On the side, causing the deflection. The fuck, bro? Like, dudes want to make somebody so bad. You want people to be a criminal. Like, yo, things happen, bro. Things happen.
Gary missing with the right hand. Ngannou coming to the inside. Short. Gary missing with the right hand. Ngannou coming to the inside.
Ngannou posted the other video. He won't post this video. Talking about the Superman punch is legal, but this is illegal. Get your ass out of here.
Word.
Now what y'all got to say? Calling my boy a cheater and he dirty. Come on, Ness. Bro, y'all never give people the benefit of the doubt. That's the sad part, bro. Modern King Boxing, $2. The Boxing Voice. Fire.
Right hand, and Gano coming to the inside. Short.
Does that mean?
Gary missing with the right hand, and Gano coming to the inside. Short right.
Really? Is what y'all doing now? Yeah. But what else we got? We got another super chat here. We got to get to you. This is Nate. What's your name? Nate Alien Games. He said, member for 5 months on the champ level. Buenos dias, TB. Motherfucking V.
Top of the morning.
That fight is not bigger than Wilder
versus. With the right hand and coming to the inside.
The fuck?
Gary hey,
Mark, chill your ass.
Really, bro? Really?
He said, Buenos dias, TB motherfucking V. That fight is not bigger than Wilder versus Joshua. Flexing emoji, alien emoji. And Dana is trying to convince himself that there's no money in those fights. Hey, Dana, pay your fighters more. Money bag emoji.
So, shout out to the people that say, yeah, you know, look, Ignorant Boxing said, they've been talking about it all over MMA shows, saying it was intentional. All I'm saying is, I never thought it was intentional. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I'm glad the video surfaced now so that people can stop the shenanigans, bro. It's like, damn, you feel me?
Yeah, no, I know you were big on him not.
I just feel like benefit of the doubt, bro. Benefit of the doubt. Like, that shit looked it too straight up and down, like it was meant to be for it to be intentional, right? Because it's like, you're going to get a point deducted. This dude's a professional. Here goes another clip about how massive Ngannou Joshua is rather than Wilder.
Tell us why Francis versus AJ is a bigger fight than Francis versus Wilder in boxing.
In boxing? Because AJ is a global superstar. Deontay Wilder is a solid name, big name in America-ish through the Fury fights, not anywhere near the same level. I mean,
he cannot help it, right? Like, is it me or is it, like, just Eddie, right? Like, he cannot help but to not give Wilder credit. My man said Deontay Wilder's, he's quite, let's rewind this, because he said ish.
Because AJ is a global superstar. Deontay Wilder is a solid name, big name in America-ish.
He said solid name, big name in America-ish. Like, he ain't really that big.
Through the Fury fights, not any.
Then he says through the Fury fights, not even giving him his own credit.
Anywhere near the same level. I mean, you're talking about a two-time heavyweight world champion. You're talking about a guy that has endorsement deals, broadcast deals all over the world. It's a monstrous fight.
Tell us why.
Monstrous fight. What do you guys think, man? We're going to open up the phone lines in just a bit more clips because Eddie, you know he's good at what he does. Check this out. This is funny. There's a few here. Shout out to Errol Hawani that challenged Eddie.
He's not going to smoke him. You know that.
Shout out to Errol that challenged Eddie.
He's not going to smoke him. You know that.
Yo, he's not going to smoke him. I love it.
He's not going to smoke him. You know that.
No, but that's what I want. No, I want you sell me the fight, Errol.
He's not
going to
smoke
him. You tell me Francis Ngannou can beat Anthony Joshua.
1,000%.
He will. So you think.
My brother, I'm going to answer you in the chat. Yes, there's professional fighters that think he threw an elbow, but there's also. Professional fighters are also human beings, and people have a thing against Fury because of the Wilder fights. So, you know, he gets this stigma of being a dirty fighter. So, yes, there are fighters that are saying it, and you want to believe them over me. That's 100% fine, but... Are you asking yourself, did those same fighters that believe it was an intentional elbow see this version of the clip? The version that's being shared on social media yesterday and post-fight is a totally different version of what we got today and how slowed down and the angle. So, I mean, you know, I'm not a professional fighter. You don't like my opinion, that's okay, but the video still is better than anything anyone can say. But going back to the clip.
He's not going to smoke him, you know that.
No, but that's what I want. No, I want you sell me the fight, Errol.
He's not going to
tell
smoke
me Francis Ngannou can beat Anthony Joshua.
1,000%.
He will.
He said he can beat him 1,000%. I don't know who's funnier here. Is it him or is it Eddie, like, is the MMA analyst just so MMA that he thinks Francis could beat anyone now? Because he's going to talk down on Chisora and Dillian White in this interview. Not down, but down in the sense that he doesn't believe Francis should fight those guys, and he doesn't believe those guys can beat him.
So you think Ngannou will beat Joshua?
Not only do I think Ngannou can beat Joshua, I think you're being incredible. You're doing the same thing that you did.
I love it.
Actually, what's that?
Look, you see Eddie cheering. I love it. Literally hands in the air because he does love it. Because if he can get people to buy the fact that Francis can beat AJ, he gets what he wants, which is a quote-unquote massive fight. So shout out to Eddie Hearn, man, always working. This is what the PBC is lacking. They're lacking someone out there championing for them, someone out there, you know, consistently putting them in mythical matchups. You know, in that interview, Devin Haney was brought up, and
That's what you get when you're promoted by Eddie. You know, you get the random promotion on big platforms when you least expected it.
He's wide. No, but all of a sudden we've gone.
Oh, damn. Got a screen share to actually show you that. Once again, credit to Errol Hawani for his interview with Eddie Hearns.
Hey, you did.
I love it.
Actually, one second.
This is wide. No, but all of a sudden we've gone from a night that's farcical, right?
He said, all of a sudden we've gone from a night that's farcical.
Free fight on Saturday.
That was you and AJ that said that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No,
you
not
and
AJ. No, AJ said it was me.
He trying to clean up. No, not AJ. He want to make sure that business can still be done. Don't make AJ a bad guy. Do not make AJ the bad guy in this situation, man. We trying to get this money.
Right. Pre-fight on Saturday.
That was you and AJ that said that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, not AJ.
AJ said it was a gimmick fight.
I'm saying he wasn't interested in the gimmick fight.
He's not going to smoke.
Hey, a gimmick fight is still trying to tell Ngannou, like, bro, I'm not into that circus shit. So Eddie got to clean that up so that Ngannou, you know, doesn't, you know, conduct business with his heart rather than his mind, you know what I mean? But there's a lot more here that we need to share. Bear with us. This is for those that didn't get to watch this. You know, TBV loves to make things easy on you.
My money, and I will show you what.
Let's start it over. He said, take my money.
Take my money, and I will show you what happens when Anthony Joshua fights Francis Ngannou. I said three rounds on Saturday.
You're insane for that.
I'll be a little bit more generous. Six rounds.
Ngannou lands that punch that he landed in the third round. I don't know if AJ gets off the mat.
Oh, error.
You're crazy.
No bullshit. Because of who AJ is and who's he showed us. See, that's the difference. Had C-Dub told me, bro, Francis is fighting AJ. He got a punch of Sam. I'm like, oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Because, you know, this fat kid knocked him down. You feel me? But... Fury, no, we know he gets up. You ain't keeping that man down. It just ain't happening. Not till you show me. I will not believe it until I see it with my own eyes. Now AJ gets hit with the left hook? Wait a minute. Did you forget that's the same punch that fucking Andy started all of AJ's nightmares? So Errol may have a point right here. I'm not saying he does because I still feel AJ should be superior to Ngannou.
Crazy. I saw one of your tweets earlier, Errol.
This is going to be like,
so good.
I don't know. It was like talking about how Francis is like,
Yeah. I see some of the boxing people being like, oh, tell him to go fight Derek Chisora or Dillian White. Are you kidding me? First of all, when's the last time Anthony Joshua?
Bro, he said, are you kidding me? Honestly, I don't. See, this is what makes me hardcore. I don't mind those fights. I think those are two good fights. It should be Derek, then Dillian, then come back to that high level. Like, but Eddie pretty much put it the best. You know, you could get wobbled. You could get staggered. You could get dropped. You could lose in those fights. And then that's it. You know, the show's over. So it's interesting. But I love that Errol Hawani really is out here championing for Ngannou. We really think Ngannou could beat guys like Chisora, Dillian White, and AJ without a problem.
Truly outboxed and knocked someone out who he didn't fight on 5 days' notice.
Now, this was a good question. Eddie, who's usually good, I don't think he answered this well. He looked bad here. Errol got him.
Mm. Oh, tell him to go fight Derek Chisora or Dillian White. Are you kidding me? First of all, when's the last time Anthony Joshua truly outboxed and knocked someone out who he didn't fight on 5 days' notice? When is it?
Jermaine Franklin? Well, he didn't knock him out. He won every round.
Jermaine Franklin.
Yo, he brought a Jermaine Franklin who AJ went 12 with.
Bro, and he's like, and the question literally is like, who do he stop? Not on short, at least gives one of the guys that was short notice. Even though he said not on short notice, But at least give a guy he stopped. He gave a guy he went to this. He gave his
with
last
a full
fight.
Camp.
I mean, not yeah. exactly one for the highlight
yeah,
reel.
But
did he knock him out?
He said, not exactly one for the highlight reel. Like, bro, you're really bringing up Franklin? But listen to him. I like Errol. He did his thing in this one.
I mean, not
yeah.
exactly one for the highlight
yeah,
reel.
But then
did he knock him out?
I mean, don't forget, this is a guy that's boxed. Why?
This is what AJ does. I mean, this is what Eddie does best. You talk about AJ, he brings up his resume. But this is, like people say, this is old stuff.
Klitschko, Parker, Takam, Povetkin, sure. Ruiz, Usyk.
Now listen to Ariel. He's sharp as a tack.
Usyk.
Yeah, is he yeah. knocking them down?
Tate.
Bro, my man went through the whole resume. He like, but is he knocking them down? Is he knocking them out? Nah, he did his thing, man. He dug deep into Eddie on this one. We got a few more. And we will be opening up the phone lines. You know the number to call, 1-425-569-5240.
Nah, he's sharp, bro. He is sharp.
Don't forget, this is a guy that's boxed.
Nah, he's doing his thing in there. And here goes Eddie doubling down, y'all. He repeats himself.
Don't forget, this is a guy that's boxed. White, Klitschko, Parker, Takam, Povetkin,
sure.
Ruiz, Usyk.
Yeah, is he yeah. knocking them down? Is
yeah.
he knocking them out?
Cool. Sweet.
He got lying.
I mean,
he said, yeah, of course, mate. Like, what?
Well, to be fair.
Bro.
To be fair, he isn't, because if you heard Eddie, he went through the resume. So he did knock down Ruiz the first time. Obviously, he then got stopped after. But he knocked him down, which was what Ariel said. Is he knocking him down?
Yeah, but you can't count a fight where you got a knockdown and lost, then you got the rematch and didn't knock that dude down. Like, that don't make sense, but I
no,
get it.
No, for sure.
He's a spin doctor. I love him.
No.
That's why I love Eddie.
What do you mean, course? Jermaine Franklin's like, I thought I was taking a night pill.
Killed him. He said, what do you mean, of course?
Damn, Ariel.
The Jermaine Franklin fight, I thought I was taking a NyQuil. Yo, that's better than them when they called him Anthony Johnson.
Jermaine Franklin's fight, I thought I was taking a NyQuil.
Ariel,
I thought I was going to bed
Ariel,
watching that fight.
Ariel.
That was, that's
this,
the fight?
This,
that's the one that you're going to put on the mantle?
All right.
For what Francis
did?
Yo, he said, that's the one you're going to put on the mantle for what
wow.
Francis did. Meaning, what Francis did is greater than anything AJ has done in Ariel's eyes.
I'll give you unbelievable when we make this fight, right?
Oh, I'd love it.
The odds that I will give you for Francis Ngannou are going literally, you are going to put every property, every bank account, cars, maybe your studio, that laptop,
yeah,
anything else you've got in the studio of value, you are going to put it on this fight with the odds I'm going to give you for this fight. And I'm telling you, like, but this is what we want.
So I wish he gives me that bet too, but the opposite way, because I'm with him. I mean, again, Francis got to make me a believer, you know? Are you picking Francis Anthony Joshua? $1 million question.
I'm not picking Francis, but I'll tell you that motherfucker might have a puncher's chance or two.
Mm.
You feel me? And quite frankly, we've seen Joshua go down. He's gotten up sometimes, and sometimes I feel like he's always gotten up, right?
That's what they say.
I feel like he's always gotten up, so. I don't know, man. We'll see. One thing about Joshua that I feel Fury is superior in is his recovery.
Mm.
Fury's recovery to me is
exactly
is unlike anybody else's in the
where
heavyweight
Joshua
division.
When he got clipped, he looked delirious for
so,
a bit.
I'm still no doubt picking
the boxer.
Anthony Joshua, but
Anthony Gunshot Joshua, that is another thing. And that dude's from the UK. That's another truth though, man.
So we'll see, man. We'll have to wait and see.
We got another clip for you, though.
Let's go.
It's not over.
And he says that there's something on the table for Francis. I asked Francis what this is. He wouldn't say, of course. Are you trying to make...
So I'll give you some backstory here because he did an interview with Francis yesterday. Obviously, Deontay Wilder's trainer, Malik Scott, is saying that him and Deontay Wilder and Francis are in negotiations. Francis announced that he did receive a proposal and he's going to be answering back very soon. But he didn't say from who. And when Errol tried to ask from who it was, he said, I won't tell you. So he didn't clarify whether he got a proposal to fight Deontay Wilder or not, whether it's in the cage or not, whether it's Wilder, whether it's Fury. No, actually, he made it clear that it's not Fury and that that rematch won't happen because Fury underestimated him and signed the rematch with Usyk. So going back to the clip. That was yesterday's episode of Errol Hawani with Francis on the, I guess it's called the MMA Hour?
Yes. Francis, I asked Francis what this is. He wouldn't say, of course. Are you trying to make AJ versus Francis? Is this something that can happen?
I messaged Turkey Ashay after the fight. I feel like this is the biggest fight in boxing. You know, AJ against Ngannou. Right now.
Do you think AJ Ngannou is bigger than Ngannou Fury 2?
Available fight. So that's a good question and a tough question. I think it's a massive fight.
So at least he didn't lie there because truth be told, the Fury Ngannou rematch has to be bigger. But on our poll, I guess it's because, you know, have more Wilder fans that come to this channel. Because our poll says which fight is bigger. And I thought the Tyson Fury, which is, says nothing's bigger than the Fury rematch, it's only 19%. People rather see Deontay Wilder, 45% of the votes. AJ is only 25% of the vote, while Alexander Usyk for four belts, meaning for all the MMA fans and all the boxing fans that really thought Ngannou won, if you wanted to give him a true moral victory, you would give him or vote for the Usyk fight so that he can get a shot instead of Fury getting that shot. But it didn't quite work out that way. And we still got a few more. Unfortunately, ladies and gents, it's a lot of stuff I want to show you, but it's all good. It'll just make the show juicy.
It's soft.
Nah, Ariel did his thing, and we want to give as much context as possible.
So I just saw Francis Ngannou drop the lineal heavyweight champion. Better fighter than AJ. Tyson's a better fighter.
Check how Eddie just left that fall by the wayside. He's got no response. He know you can't debate that on live TV on such a big platform when Fury got the bigger wins. So he just ignores it.
Ngannou drop the lineal heavyweight champion. Better fighter than AJ. Tyson's a better fighter than AJ.
Double
and then I
down.
Saw him rock him in the eighth round and get robbed of a decision. I just saw it.
Styles,
100%.
I mean,
styles
you
make
know, I'm sure that's the same. It's styles make fights.
Yes.
And actually, to be honest with you,
but
I thought it was a terrible style for Tyson.
Three rounds.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's given Francis only three rounds. But that's promotion, though. He's a fucking promoter. He's trying to get under Ngannou's skin.
It's so disrespectful. It's disrespectful. How could you make the same mistake?
How can an opinion be disrespectful?
Because
I need that soundbite. I need that soundbite because there's so many fucking fighters that get mad at me for my opinion. You know, but you heard Eddie. How can an opinion be disrespectful? You feel me?
How can an opinion be? I mean, I felt like his opinion was pretty disrespectful. Like, not disrespectful. I just felt like I feel like he's overlooking once again.
Yeah, again, but that's why they think it's disrespect, because you don't want to give that guy a shot versus your guy. That's not disrespect. That's my guy. I've been with him from the beginning, since the Ammies. But we got Mo.
He could very well do what he did to Fury. He could do that against AJ, Wilder, Zhile Zhang, Chisora, White. All of a sudden, he can't beat Chisora.
Bro, what's up with your mans? How do you get this platform? And I get it. I heard his story, so God bless him. He's an inspiration. I heard he's no different than us. He had a little show and they picked him up, and now he's as huge as he is. So he's inspiration, but come on, bro. This dude, did you hear what he just said?
Play it again.
He could very well do what he did to Fury. He could do that against AJ, Wilder, Zhile Zhang, Chisora, White. All of a sudden.
Bro, I get the big names are the big names. The AJs, the Furies, and the Wilders. But, bro, to throw in the Big Bang.
Nah.
Everybody fucking knows the Big Bang will fucking
eat
Ngannou. Bro, he will make that motherfucker look like ramen noodles.
Bro, but we just seen what happened, so how can you say that for sure?
Bro, because he just punches too hard. He's too big. See, Fury's big, but he's not a concussive. Bro, we talking about the Big Bang. And Bang ain't moving around like Fury, all that fainting shit. We hit a bang. Who hit harder, you or me? And even if you hit harder, get the fuck out of here. Zane got the motherfucking technique. He going to hit you with some bang for real. I don't know, man. This shit getting carried away.
He can't beat Chisora and White. Come on. Eddie, you know
I'm not sure he can.
You're crazy. What? Chisora and White? What could he do to Fury?
Yo, he said, you're crazy. What? I love Ariel, though. He's fucking, he's giving it to Eddie. But Eddie's in a great point. He's like, I'm not sure they can.
And I know Styles big fight, but they didn't even show
what,
up.
I actually think Chisora and Garner was a great fight.
Of course you do. Does he still promote Chisora? Shout out to Eddie. I don't think he does, though. Chisora's been getting that Saudi money on his own for a minute. This is probably the last one, but it's a segue because, you know, the business is good. So I do believe more fights will come. We talked about this yesterday. I think a caller brought that up, asking, does this open the door for Tank and O'Malley or Devin and O'Malley? But this is why, if boxing just listened to me, and I know that sounds narcissistic and egomaniacish, but remember my Transformer idea. Eddie's the head. Top Rank builds the foundation of these fighters by the development and the great matchmaking. PBC turns them into stars. Listen to the head. Listen to the head.
In 17, when Conor fought Floyd, do you think this is the start of more of these fights, or do you think that he just lives in a vacuum and it's not going to happen?
No, I think, look, for all the criticism, we keep saying he never had a profession.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I'm not screen sharing, so you can't even hear it. Sorry.
In 17, when Conor fought Floyd, do you think this is the start of more of these fights, or do you think that he just lives in a vacuum and it's not going to happen?
No, I think, look, for all the criticism, we keep saying he never had a professional fight, which he hasn't. Everybody knows.
Professional boxing. Professional boxing.
Yes, yes. I acknowledge this in the build-up. I know that when he came to Paris or trying to get to UK, he came to be a boxer. He didn't come to be a mixed martial artist. The boxing was his love. So he definitely has some fundamentals. Conor McGregor also was an amateur boxer. Conor McGregor has boxing fundamentals. I really don't think there's many. You'll know more than me, but I'm sure there is another one, two, three, four, I mean, who actually have a boxing background without having professional boxing matches. But I think if you don't, like, you look at Dylan Danis the other day, right? Brilliant. He was amazing.
I cut that at the wrong thing. He obviously tells you that, you know, the Dylan Danis was amazing, but he's not a boxer, and he looked like shit trying to be a boxer. I thought that was the Devin Haney clip. Obviously, that's him letting you know that only boxing MMA crossovers that should take place are anybody that has some sort of boxing background, even if you're not an amateur boxer or a former pro boxer, but someone that has that background. And he gave you that list. Hopefully I didn't drop the ball. I think I did, because I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Alex is there. I don't have that clip. Alex, if you have the time, I'm more than 100% sure right after this, we'll try to play it from there and see could we find it. Because right after this, he should say the Sean O'Malley thing and bring up Devin.
Which I know Devin brought up. when he was on the MMA hour with Ariel.
And the only reason I'm saying that is because it goes back to Eddie being the right head for boxing, meaning he's always promoting.
Conor fought Floyd. Do you think this is the start?
I think matches. But I think if you don't, like, you look at Dylan Danis the other day, right? Brilliant. He was amazing.
Yo, did you hear Errol, like,
kind of
laugh?
Yeah.
In his breath.
Doesn't know how to box. That's not to say, you know, if he was fighting Logan Paul in a cage, he'd destroy him, right? But some people have the fundamentals, some people don't. You will know those people because you'll see it in the cage, I guess, you know, if someone has a good stand-up game. I mean, the guy...
Fuck, bro. I hate doing it this way. I really wish I knew the timestamp.
UFC to box in and make 10 mil. Do you know what I mean? Like, but if you have a massive profile and a big following,
come on,
and you
Errol,
can box...
Tell me I'm on point.
I do think this was a bit of a freak, to be honest with you, but I do think if you have boxing background or ability, you have an opportunity. See, if you look at someone like Nate Diaz, he's...
People at UFC HQ in Las Vegas who are saying, we blew it.
Oh, yeah, he asks them that. But, you know, Eddie's going down the traditional business route in that answer. I don't think it's worth it. I'm shocked he didn't. We didn't find the O'Malley part.
Within the splits.
See, he's still giving the response. But more of a business response, basically saying they're not mad. They knew their numbers. They were okay parting ways with Ngannou. You know.
But I think he would also be surprised with what Francis has done.
That's him saying Dana would be surprised with what Francis was able to achieve. But, you know, Eddie does double down and say won't be going back to MMA. He says he made too much money. There's too much money in boxing for him. He doesn't see him going back to MMA, but...
Which I don't entirely know to be true.
Well, no. Yesterday, Francis told Errol he's definitely doing PFL.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I know he just signed that PFL.
I mean, you can always retire, baby.
And he's probably the best job in the world.
Yeah, I'm going to just let it go. I can't find the O'Malley part.
You're saying to pause it. I said a pause. You're saying to retire, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yet.
No, retire from MMA,
yeah,
and they can't hold you to the contract.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure it's the same people, like,
involved.
In Saudi.
Yeah, but you're going to tell them, I don't want to do that no more. This is what I've always wanted to do. You know my story. Now I've done it on the highest level. I fell in love.
Yeah, but think about it. They just made this investment into the company. So they want to be able to make some off of it.
Bro.
Listen, just hear me out. They're going to be like, oh, look, no. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you this big fight. We do it like this, X, Y, and Z. And then you're going to jealous.
I'm just saying, Chan, if they're the same company like you say, I don't think there's any issue with me sitting down with them and letting them know, look, I'd rather box, and y'all going to still make that money off of me in boxing.
Yeah, but...
Even more, because boxing is more.
Nestor, they already invested this money. They have to make this money back in PFL.
They got,
like,
Clarissa and all them people.
Bro, why would they use Clarissa for their Middle East and Africa league? Like, it's literally PFL for the Middle East.
Nah, I get you. The money's already invested. I still feel like he could at least ask, bro. Like, boxing is better. He knows it. They seen it. You didn't watch the Errol Hawani video, bro. He was telling him, like, yo, how's it feel? You're the most sought-after combat athlete. Like, it was never like this for you. He's arrived now. It's unfortunate he's at 37, but... You know, one of our callers made a great point. He says, we sit here and we say the boxing is dead, and boxing just created another pay-per-view star. And Ngannou was not that in the UFC, they say. He wasn't moving units. He didn't have this buzz. Boxing made him this big. Can you agree or disagree with that? I'm asking. I don't watch UFC. I don't know his career. Is he bigger to you now that he boxed? Or
I mean, of course he's bigger now. You know, I felt like Conor was bigger when he fought Floyd. You feel me?
See, that's the difference. Like, Conor crossed over to me not watching UFC. Like, I don't really know Ngannou till he got out of the UFC. Like, that news got to me as a casual. Like, him being, you know, quote-unquote being mistreated in his contract or not being able to get what he rightfully deserves in his contract. Can you give me the backstory on that? What was the reasons exactly why he left or parted ways with the UFC?
I'm pretty sure it was money and wanting sponsorships.
Damn, so it just boils down to that. Something that boxing gives them all the time. They give them money and you own your shorts. You could go on any network and sell your shorts. You know, I mean, Mayweather made $25 million from Hublot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what it boiled down to.
No wonder the UFC does so well. They take away all those revenue streams from the athlete, you know, so they get all that money to keep investing into them. But phone lines are open. That is all the clips. If somebody wants to send the timestamp.
I know they get paid, though, like.
For the O'Malley, we'll show it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know for sure they get paid.
Some people.
Shout out to Alex. Already sent the clip for the O'Malley. Let's show you that before we open up the phone lines.
Some people have fundamentals. Some people don't. You know those people because you see it in the cage, I guess. You know, if someone is actually has a good stand-up game. I mean, the guy who keeps calling out Devin Haney. I can't remember his name.
Now think about it. Sean O'Malley actually called out who?
Holy fuck. Bro.
First. Think about it.
And what?
Of course, Danny. Sean O'Malley actually called out Gervonta Tank Davis first. But Eddie is so good at being the head. Did he say, oh, the guy that called out Tank and Haney? No. No, don't mention someone you don't promote. You understand? You got to love this guy. He is the fucking head.
Real quick, the Noche de UFC, this is crazy. So I'm going to tell you the payouts that they get.
Mm.
But the Noche de UFC that they did, Mexican Independence,
mm-hmm.
huge event. Bro, guess how much the total fighter pay was for the entire card?
$2
million. $185,000.
For the whole Noche de Boxeo? BN A-side?
Main event. Champ.
So they can pay like $5,000, $10,000.
Alexa Grasso, the main event, she made $42,000. Valentina Shevchenko made 32 racks. In a co-main, $16,000.
I mean, listen, I ain't going front as a common man, bro. This is what I'm saying. Like,
now, granted,
I have to admit that I think we need a pay curve. And I get that those numbers sound ridiculously low, but if you put that shit into perspective for the common man, you talk about an annual salary for a night, 5 rounds. 40-something thousand, that's people work for that. 30-something thousand, that's a motherfucker's job all year.
Oh,
so I get it.
Oh,
I get it's low.
What is the... All right, keep going.
I get it's low because we comparing it to boxing, but... That, you know, that's still a lot of money. But let me finish playing this O'Malley clip and see what it is.
Oh, you got it wrong? Bro, no. So that's what they get paid from Venom.
Okay.
That's
so
what
the
they get paid from Venom.
But you said they don't get spots. That's a lot of money from a sponsorship
one
fight.
They can't get sponsors because they're forced to be in Venom. And nothing on the trunks. But it was a big problem. I know
But they're still getting a cut.
Yeah, but bro, let me tell you, it was like a big problem at first because it was nowhere near this. First of all, it was under Reebok. You know, it was like, so now they giving more.
I'm just saying, let me tell you, Danny, do you think a fighter would have been able to negotiate $42,000 for a short patch that says Venom? Nah, that's a corporate deal, bro. I don't see a fighter getting 42 grand to put a Venom patch on his shorts on his own. He ain't working that deal out. You gotta be Devin, Floyd, you know, the big names, Canelo. You ain't get 40, like, listen
Look.
To me. I've been in this business for a minute. You know how many fighters asked me to put a patch, the TBV patch? That should be like 1,500. Some fighters is 250, and I'm talking about 250. Some is 1,500, some is 2,500. But like 42,000? Nah. That's some good bread.
Now, it just depends, though, right? Because that's like champion pay and shit like that. Bro, like, UFC 276, Sean O'Malley got 6 racks. Like, bro, he would have got way, you know, he could have got way more had that shit been open, you know, a guy with his marketability, his following, et cetera. But, again, I feel like for the most part, most fighters is winning, right? Because, again, like, most fighters ain't selling no sponsorships. They ain't getting no sponsorships, no patches on the trunks, shit like that. So,
all righty then. Let me see if we're going to finish this clip up.
I know it was a fight night. It was regular ESPN, ESPN Plus.
He actually has a good stand-up game. I mean, the guy who keeps calling out Devin Haney. I can't remember his name.
Sean O'Malley.
He knows he getting called that. He can't remember his name. Remember to say Devin. I love you, Eddie.
Can he box? I have no idea.
Yo, we should tag Eddie. Twitter, what up? Can we get a tag on the Eddie Hearnster? We had Leonard in the chat the other day or yesterday. Let's retweet and tag Eddie. Get up on his show, man.
No. But is it going to open the door? I mean, what MMA fighters will see is the opportunity to make considerably more money in boxing if you have the profile.
And that's just the truth, man. And, you know, since the Conor thing, I've always been cool with MMA fighters coming over here because it's always been bigger for our sport. I always wanted Nate and Nick, but they waited so long. They look like fucking punching bags now. But I always wanted them. When they was in their Strikeforce days, you know, I don't know which one of them was signed to Strikeforce, but he had a decent stand-up game. Mm-hmm. He used to pity-pat a lot, like the lead jab was always a little slap, slap, slap. But, you know, he was decent. And back then they were saying he was spawned with Ward. So I'm like, oh, this guy could probably do something. What? No, what?
I mean, you thought he could do something, but you saw him get fucked up.
But he's also a chronic smoker. And you could tell he don't take shit serious. My man always had a dad bod. Like, boxers rarely look like Tyson Fury. There's not a lot of boxers that look like Tyson Fury. Not in the elite level, not in even in the top 10 level. It's very little boxers that look like, what's my man that we was just talking about that said had a dad bod?
Tyson Fury?
Other than him. The guy right before him.
Before Tyson Fury, Andy Ruiz?
You wildin', bro. Danny is on one today. Phone lines is open if you want to call in, voice your opinion on today's topic. We are asking you basically which fight is bigger. Is the Francis Ngannou fight with Deontay Wilder bigger, or is it the Anthony Joshua fight with Francis Ngannou? Is that bigger? And the only reason we asking is because Eddie is saying that the Joshua one is bigger. Plus, he's saying Francis doesn't beat Joshua. In fact, Joshua beats him in 3 rounds. Average boxing fan, $2. Shout out to MMA Fighters has boxing channels making money bag. Renaissance Dad upgraded his membership to the champ level. Champ, go to the community post. I put some homework. Go watch that fight because that's how we make money around here. If you haven't already hit that thumbs up, you're doing the show a disservice. We're trying to get as big as Errol Hawani so we could get these interviews with Eddie Hearn. We need your help. So if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to the show. We're at 182,808, so we're almost at 183, but the goal is 1,000,000.
You can help us. We're going out to the phone lines.
Phone lines are open. Y'all see the number on top of the screen, 425-569-5241. Discord and Twitter Spaces, X Spaces is open.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Subscribe to youtube.com/theboxingvoice for the latest and greatest interviews with your favorite fighters.
J. Will, Ohio, Buenos Dias.
J. Will.
While we wait for him to connect, smash that thumbs up.
Hold up.
Yo.
Diaz Brothers
yo,
is
yo.
The one that had the dad bod.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, champ.
What's up, man? Good show, bro. I would have to go with Ngannou and Wilder. I just think, you know, people are not really on Anthony Joshua no more because of his, you know, recent performances, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Wilder presents more of a threat. And Ness, I don't know, man. It's like it seems like you're trying to hold down boxing, and I respect it. As far as the elbow and just the overall
bro,
theme.
Did you watch the video?
I
need to know if you watched the video that we just shared today.
No.
So then how you going to form an opinion without watching the new evidence that clearly shows it was not intentional?
No. I agree that I don't think it's intentional. I'm just saying it's just like – boxing is your sport, so I understand you holding down boxing, but I just think us as hardcore boxing fans, I think we got to be honest about the state of the heavyweight division. It's okay, but it's, like, compared to previous eras, it's lackluster. It's damn near trash, for real. We only got two really good. Okay, so case in point, man, when Shakur Stevenson had the nerve to say Tyson Fury's better than Ali, come the fuck on, bro. And I'm glad the fight with Ngannou happened because it proves that this levels to this. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what does it prove exactly? Because there's levels to this. I that's a very vague statement.
Well, I put it like this, man. I don't think Ngannou would beat the heavyweight James Toney. And heavyweight James Toney, in his era of being a heavyweight, he wasn't even the top guy like that. So. And he started off at, 160, 154? So James Toney, the heavyweight James Toney, would have handled Ngannou. That just goes to show the lack of skill that our current heavyweights got. Man.
So what era is this great era that you speak of, just so I know?
I think our heavyweight stopped being great, after the Lennox Lewis Klitschko era. You know what I'm saying? After that, I think that the talent became watered down. I mean, the heavyweight division, bro, is going to be the most popular division.
So the talent became watered down after Lennox Lewis. So, There was 24 fighters on the top level, on the level of Lennox?
I don't get that question. What do you mean?
I mean, were there 24 fighters on the level of Lennox in that era?
There's a lot more elite fighters in that era than there is now.
So let's give you some free time. Can you name off the top of your head, Mr. My Era's Better Than Yours, how many of those heavyweights there was? You said Lennox. Keep going.
But it's not. There's Lennox. I'll give both the Klitschko's. I'll give Riddick Bowe. I'll give Evander.
Hold on, champ.
Who else?
Hold on. If you're going to get free time, you can't put Lennox and Klitschko in the same era because, yes, he fought Vitaly, did not rematch him, retired. Vitaly went on to have a long career, and so did Vlad. So that's like, you know, Floyd retiring in the era of Earl. Just saying.
Klitschko's fought for a long time, so they crossed over.
I mean,
eras.
All you got to do is check their birth dates. You feel me? You can't put them in Lennox's era.
So what I gave, you Lennox. I gave you Riddick Bowe. I gave you Evander.
Hakeem Rahman, Monty Barrett, Oliver McCall. Like,
Bro, for every heavyweight you say, I can name one from my era.
So you who would you compare Dillian White to?
Oh, my God, there's so many. I just named Oliver McCall. I just named Monty Barrett. I could find way
more. Those guys
more.
Are not those are not elite guys, though. I named elite guys.
And you asked me to name a comparison to Dillian White. I'm sorry, is he elite?
No, he's not. He's not. He's
so
not.
Shut up when I'm talking, because you wild and sounding
okay.
Crazy.
So,
the
so
man never won
fighting.
A world title. I mean, the men I mentioned, Monty Barrett, go check his resume. Oliver McCall didn't, I mean, don't he got an upset on his record? Haseem Rahman, didn't he knock out Lennox Lewis? The fuck is
he
got
talking? A
John and
Ruiz.
I'm not even,
he
I'm not even
Ruiz,
a historian,
is
Danny.
Is he elite? Is he
I'm
elite?
Not even a historian. I'm making you look bad.
Is Andy?
Chill,
is
Jan.
Andy Ruiz elite? Is Andy elite?
Oh, so winning 4 belts don't make you elite. What you going to call it, a fluke, huh? You one of those guys.
Was Andy a fluke? Was Andy Puda was a fluke?
No, you
rematch,
one
didn't?
Of those guys. It was a fluke. I was 10 steps ahead of you. I said what you was going to say. The man that won 4 belts and the ring, it was a fluke. That's your defense to my errors better than yours. Get this guy off. No more free time
for
bums.
How has Andy looked since then? How has Andy
no
looked
more
since
free
then?
Time for bums.
How has Andy looked since then?
Yo.
Exactly.
How has Buster Douglas looked since his upset? And I guess Andy's looked better than Buster after Buster got his upset. Andy got wins after his upset. You feel me? What has Buster done since his upset? What did he do? You feel me? Like, you want to talk about that era and this era? We could both play that game.
C-Dub, did you connect? Are you there?
Nope.
All
hold
right.
On, C-Dub. Hold on.
No, C-Dub.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Don't go. Please don't go. You there now, champ. Talk to us. C-Dub, we hear you.
All right, man. Yeah, that was classic, man. Yo, historian this.
I'm
you know,
not.
You got
You know
you got
I'm
the
not.
Card on that one. You
no,
got the card.
No, I'm not a historian.
Shout out to TVB. Smash that like button. It's free. Do something with yourself. You know, Danny, man, you know a lot about UFC, Danny. You got to continue to educate, but let me help you out. Francis Ngannou didn't get that belt put on him because Dana pried, and he petted, and he was hurt because they was in tough negotiations.
What came out his
and Francis
mouth?
Held his...
What came out of his mouth in the post-fight press conference, bro? Because I saw all your comments.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure what came out of his mouth, but
so yeah, I'm not I, just like you're not sure what came out his because I'm sure about that. But you talking about his feelings and his pettiness, I'm not sure about that. I just know at the post-fight press conference, he shitted on the fight. He shitted on the performance.
Yeah, he would. He going to shit on the performance because of how Francis held his nuts on him during negotiations, and since Francis Ngannou won, he was going to give him what he had to bend to his knees, or he was going to leave. He didn't want to give him the fact. You know when Bob was on the
you calling cap on it was
right cap.
So
cap. He didn't want to.
It was a
his pride wouldn't allow him to put the belt on Francis after Francis held his nuts on him in negotiations. And now I'm the big dog. Now I got all the cards because I just won. So you got to. I'm the man. Just like when Woodley. Do you remember when him and Woodley had a feud, and he left before when Woodley beat the white guy, and when he beat him, he left. He was nowhere to be found because him and Woodley was in a feud. If you're in a feud with Dana, but you know what? Bob, you know when Bob and Bud was in a feud and then Bud won and then they was on the post-press conference and Bud and Bob sat there. See, Dana went and did that. See, Bob sat there while Bud said, you know, Bob couldn't deliver. He just couldn't deliver the big fight. So, you know, I'm out of here. Like, so Dana, even though Dana got all the pluses, he would not have sat there while his fighter did that. He's not going to, he got to have the ups. He got to have the upside. The odds got to be in his favor. That's just it. But, yeah, man, Francis, AJ is not the bigger fight. Eddie is a great salesman. Ariel Helwani, this is where boxing fans and MMA fans gotta, you know, they gotta okay it. They gotta accept it, because when you're on one spectrum saying somebody that got boxing fundamentals and they don't got a boxing chance and they know how to box, now you gotta listen to them saying that Ngannou could beat AJ and beat Zhang and beat everybody. Like it's the opposite side of the spectrum now that everybody has to be. This is a new reality that we in. But everybody don't got boxing. It's like Eddie said, everybody don't got boxing fundamentals like Ngannou. Everybody don't got boxing pedigree in them a little bit like Conor and Ngannou did. What's up, Dan?
Champ, do you know a gentleman by the name of David Tua?
David Tua. Yeah. I mean, you talking about Tua the boxer?
Yeah, David Tua the boxer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a lot about him. He was in the 90s, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was Lennox Lewis era. But people seem to like him. They always thought David Tua was this great boxer that I don't think he won a heavyweight title.
No.
I'm not sure, but if I were to say Dillian White is our version's David Tua, would I be wrong? I mean, they both had a left hook. They both knocked people out. Dillian White's resume is probably better than David Tua. I'm sorry. Oh, London runs boxing. You just said he's a bad man, and you're from the UK. Can you tell me your opinion? Who's better?
Now they saying.
I would have to go back. I would really have to go back and take a look. But I think they're like similar.
Oh, now he's David Tua, the plumber.
AJ, I know AJ. AJ would be Ngannou. I really believe AJ. But but people don't want to see him do a boxing match again. People, there's AJ Ariel. That's what Ariel was talking about. Eddie know that the most exciting fight is the statue, is Wilder. But you know, AJ will win, but he may do the same thing he did with Ruiz in the second fight and play keep away.
Mm.
You know, but don't let this Ngannou fight inferior. Don't let people say the earth is flat now. You know, don't say the land on the moon was fake. You know, Fury, he did it. He said he prepared well. Did you see his latest? His post,
who?
He said he prepared Fury. He said he prepared well. He said he trained hard. He said he left no stone unturned. And to give all credit to Francis Ngannou.
He said it was like a 15-week training camp or some shit.
Yeah. He said he would not have made it out the fight if he wouldn't have trained so hard.
Hmm.
That's crazy.
Shout out
right?
to Ngannou, yo. So a star is born, hopefully. Let's see who he actually wins. Moral victories. You know, they don't go on BoxRec. Like, you seen his post? He's mad. He's like, man, I woke up and I'm not. I should be champion. You're not. He's on BoxRec black and white. Champ, the bell rung a long time ago. We just wasn't sure. So it was like, whatever. We gonna let you rock out because you one of the you know alumni around here. We going out to Allen the Bay. You still ain't accept that invite from like 10 hours ago, Al. Moving on to my man Majid. I need a historian, bro. Where my historians at? Because they always,
yo,
I mean, and go ahead, I hear you.
Snap on that bitch. Man, everybody need to like the video, subscribe to the channel, join YouTube members and Patreon for something. I ain't going to hold you, Ness. That debate got me. I don't even remember what the topic is. But that one, David Tua and motherfucking Dillian White. Only thing I remember about David Tua is when that nigga knocked out that John Ruiz, you know, he caught him while he was going down with a short hook. The dude was already out. And he just killed him. You know, Dillian White, when I think about him, I just think that nigga just the uppercut, you know, that's the little sleep button for him. You know, he be getting in there with people and shit, but that nigga sleep too much in boxing matches. But, what the fuck is the topic?
Is Francis Ngannou versus AJ bigger fight than Wilder versus Francis Ngannou? According to Eddie, AJ versus Ngannou is bigger, and it would be Rumble in the Jungle 2 if they did it in Africa.
Oh, man. Ah, shit. If Shay is bigger, I think they equally as big, because both of them niggas, AJ and Wilder, they be doing, like, going to Africa and paying their homage to whoever over there and shit. You know, they both colossal as men, you know, just big as shit. You know, I just feel like when it comes to AJ, it's like, you know, we kind of be thinking that his tail tuck, you know, like with the Hellenius, I thought he was going to just get that nigga out of there, but they say he was working on his skills. He looked like a better boxer. Then you see Wilder just starched the nigga. Only person to beat Wilder was the Fury dude that Ngannou just did what he did, like made it look how it looked. Now people perceiving it a certain way. So I feel like that fight with Wilder be a good ass seller too. Will he land the punch, or will, you know, the guy that, like, you know, as they perceive, beat Tyson Fury, be able to, you know, do what Fury did better, you know? So I feel like it's a comparison thing where they got something to feed off of AJ. They just talk about his previous accolades and, you know, like, shit, like the dude that Ariel or whoever the fuck was doing the interview, like, who have you knocked out? Well, have you not, you know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't really do too much, but I still know that AJ's a big name with the country behind him. Wilder don't really got the country behind him, but he got that knockout power belief behind him. And so I just feel like, shit, either way Ngannou go, that's going to be a big-ass match. As far as who bigger, my brain think too technical, like, well, shit, who made the most money on pay-per-views, you know, like that type shit. You know, they got $800,000 at the $85 price point, that type of shit. I don't know what AJ got, so I can't downplay his numbers and shit. But as far as Eddie Hearn going with all of that, you know, playing Wilder out shit, he's supposed to do that because he a promoter. But I feel like both those niggas would be a big fight. Well, I'm kind of leaning towards motherfucking Wilder just because American bias shit, being honest. But AJ is a big fucking deal, and we can't act like he ain't, so I feel like who's bigger, I have no fucking clue, but AJ as big as they need to be to get, and with the money backing that they got and shit, you know, it's there to make, you know what I'm saying? But I guess it's going to be a race to Ngannou. Who going to get it first type shit? You know, Leonard Ellerbe bitch has to be listening right now. I won't say nothing. Eddie Hearn to talk to you and the DAZN people. So to me, when it come to who bigger, I'm going to say AJ now, because Wilder's handlers like to be silent and keep secrets. DAZN like to entertain and talk to the public. So I'm going to go with the public speaker, even though I want Wilder to get that shit first, because when the LB ball-headed bitch has to be listening to this shit and he won't call in. You know what I'm saying? Eddie Hearn or his people will. And that's the difference. So I'm going to go with AJ. I figured it out as I was talking. That's, but shout out to y'all. Everybody like the fucking video. Stop hijacking, voting for not liking the video, man. I'm out.
Bro, look at this. Not that, this. Oh, my God, did it again. Did it again! All right, give me a segundo.
Yo.
Hollis. Yo.
I got invited to this event.
What
bro.
Event?
I might have to take a flight,
what
get
event?
Some content. This turkey
lying.
Drive.
You don't get no content.
Why
bro.
You be lying?
Danny's days of content are done.
Bro,
check this out.
Tapper.
Shout out to IFL. And this could be the offer Errol Hawani said that Ngannou received.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ngannou said he's got to answer it back. This could be it. And Frank Warren put out two names. Look at the names, Danny. What do you think?
Frank Warren has put forward Manuel Char and Joe Joyce as two potential. Yeah, I have no interest in seeing Char, but I would love the Joe Joyce fight.
Yep. Hell yeah, let's make that.
Now, this is what Frank Warren is offering Francis Ngannou.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are two winnable fights. Joe Joyce might be more difficult, but he could be shot worn if you jump on him. There's obviously footage, you know, so you could come up with a game plan. I don't know what Francis can do. I always pick him against the boxer until he actually beats a boxer and shows me he can land a left hook and, you know, going a couple rounds, that's not going to do it for me to pick him over Joyce, who's got a dangerous jab. He don't move his head, so he could be hit. So I get the whole Francis, you know, landing the shot, but still, it's like, fucking hell, right? Like, he's still Joe Joyce, bro. Like, he still went whatever rounds he went with Zhang. Like, is really Francis about to get him out of there?
I just feel like after what we've seen, if you've been stopped, we got to give you more than a puncher's chance. But
so Francis is the favorite in both those fights?
I don't think he's the favorite, but...
What? He not a favorite in both those fights?
I mean, against Char, but I have zero interest in that. Like, they could do that shit in my backyard and not close the blinds to not see. You
crazy.
Feel me? But as far as the Joe Joyce fight, I still think Joyce is a favorite, but not by as much or nearly as much as
Give me
Fury
a number,
was.
Bro. You were better. Give me the odds. You made the line. What does Danny have? Joe Joyce, Francis Ngannou opening up today.
Joe Joyce a minus 180 and Ngannou a plus 130.
That is close. That is close. We got some clips, though. Clippy clip time. Shout out to the producers always producing. This is probably from yesterday's clip with Errol, and PFL picked it up. And obviously they're talking it, so here you go.
We have spoken about that.
Oh.
In fact, that has been in the discussion.
Okay.
So that's something that can potentially happen. So Deontay Wilder for a couple months, I mean for a little while now, been training MMA.
Oh, really?
So, oh yeah, because there's an option here. Nothing is said. It's been something been coming out to my ear, to my attention. So that's something that makes sense.
Wow.
I think, and he's really, because he's really serious about the MMA. I know a lot of people talk, oh, I'm going to do this in boxing and do that in MMA. But I think Deontay Wilder is very interested in MMA and even like just to step in the octagon for MMA and MMA only. So I think that's a good idea.
So my question to you and the audience is, do you think that is the proposal that was sent over? Because he has received the proposal. He just hasn't made it clear what it's for, whether it's for an AJ fight with Eddie, whether it's for, you know, a Wilder fight in Saudi, or whether it's for a Wilder PFL fight, or the Frank Warren two offers. It could have been the Frank Warren two offers.
Well, I think it's probably going to be, if it's Wilder, I feel like it's going to be a one-on-one.
Yeah, unfortunately. I don't know why Wilder's doing
bro,
this.
Like, no, and that's only if they do MMA. But I feel like if we see Francis and Wilder happen in the cage, it's going to happen in the ring, and it's probably going to happen in the ring first.
Mm. Well, the way that yesterday's interview sounds, it sounds like it won't be in the cage first, which is what's sadder, bro. Like, it'd be better for Wilder to do it in boxing first, get the win, flatten them, and then go in the cage on some pity shit. But it's going to look backwards. If you lose in the cage, it's like now you got to get back in the ring.
But you just said that it won't be in the cage first.
No, it will. According to yesterday's interview, that's what I'm saying.
I thought yesterday's interview with Francis.
Yeah.
I thought his interview said that his next fight is in the cage.
That's my point. Again, there's a bit of speculation. The man received the proposal. We don't know what it's for. So it can be the many things that's being discussed. A is Eddie, because Eddie said he's already in communications with Takeshi, or I don't want to butcher his name, but I already did. B, it could be the PFL offering Ngannou the Wilder cage fight.
Okay.
Or it could simply be Frank Warren, who already stated he had a meeting with, he was set to meet Ngannou, and now has come out and said he's put up two names. So it could be three different things, let alone the fourth option of just a Wilder boxing match, not a cage match, because Wilder's trainer said Francis and Wilder are in negotiations, allegedly. Mm. So there's a lot happening. Again, the one thing Errol said that's true, the man's become one of the biggest combat athletes now. I have to say combat because he's in two sports, but certainly in boxing, he's sought after. Everybody wants a piece of Ngannou. It's a race to Ngannou because, again, outside looking in, he don't look like he's going to be getting these wins that the MMA people believe he's going to get. So, you know, if they get him in the boxing ring, the boxers believe they can win. But we're going out.
Man, let me tell you, he gets a couple fights, he's going to stop somebody. Like, somebody's going to get upset.
Hmm.
Not everybody's going to be able to get up from that left hook, bro.
Out of all the names we've talked today, who doesn't get up? We've mentioned Dillian White. We've mentioned Chisora, AJ, Wilder, Manuel Char, Joe Joyce. I think that's about all the heavyweights we've mentioned. I don't want to include anyone else.
Man, probably Char, Chisora.
Remember Char fought Vlad, bro?
Yeah, but how old is he now, bro?
True.
You feel me? How long ago did he fight Vlad? You know, same shit with Chisora. Chisora's old, you feel me? But still dangerous. Like, Chisora,
definitely dangerous. I don't know that he goes down either. That dude, I mean, only dude to knock him out that I can remember, like, knock him out is David Haye.
Dillian knocked him out, right?
Did he?
Bro, in the bro.
Oh, the rematch, the left hook, right? No, I don't know. I don't remember.
And I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right, though, with a left hook
and
or uppercut.
I'm pulling it up, but if I remember correctly, Chisora was winning up to that point, I feel like. You know, but White, you know, he's only lost by knockout, so I feel like you got to consider him if that were to occur. Yeah, it was left to the head.
Yeah, and Povetkin put White out, too, with
and
a left uppercut.
At the time of the knockout, two of the judges had Chisora ahead in that Dillian White fight. So, again, still dangerous nonetheless.
Remember, Povetkin knocked out Dillian White with a left hook, and that's what landed for Ngannou. But going out to the phone calls, Anthony, one of the
Yo.
Two biggest Ngannou predictors here on the show. What up, champ?
Thank you. What up? You know, so I
Hello.
Had to call in because I said, can you hear me?
Anthony?
You got me?
Yo. Hawk in Maryland.
Oh. Yo, can you hear me?
Strange.
No.
You?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Anthony again?
Yo, you I got said, me? Can you hear me? Hello. Yo, you got me?
All right. I will get back to that, see what's going on. We got Laser. Talk to us.
Yo, what's going on, boxing host?
What's up, brother?
What's up?
Hey, living a good Tuesday, man. Just got a break from work, thought I'd pop in and say something. The question is,